Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Wild World on this magical network called Blog Talk Radio as we reach around the world. Hello to all of our listeners in Ireland, England, New Zealand, Australia, Denton, Texas, and all across North America. And we appreciate you being on our program with us tonight. We've got a fantastic show, as always, our studio producer, Billy Willard. Later on, for the kids, Mrs. Swihart, our first grade teacher, and from the Wild World News Studios, now HD,
for the kids,
Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. What's going on at the Wildlife Preserve tonight?
We're enjoying warm weather.
Yes, we are.
Yes, and the gators were moved out this week. We had a parade of gators heading out to their pond.
14 in all?
No, not quite that many close, though. But, yeah, it was pretty cool, pretty cool. You know, we've got a great show tonight.
Yes,
We've got Indiana rock and roll history. In fact, I was wondering what lead guitarist of the Kinks, Dave Davies, would think about tonight.
You really got me now,
Larry. I'm calling from London. Yeah, I'm excited about tonight's show. Real excited. I've drinking coffee. Hopefully, I can stay up for all of it. I got my brother Ray here. He says if I fall asleep, he'll punch me in the face.
Oh dear.
Oh God. Well, thanks, Dave. We appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome, Larry. I'm gonna stay tuned.
This part of Wild
Have
World
you found the Sorcerer's Stone.
It's brought to you by Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo, and it happened April 26th, 27th, and 28th. 6 hours of video on demand. You can order it. Go to their website, ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com, if you're a fan of not finding Bigfoot or many of the discovery programs. 6 hours of video, including Melissa Hovey, Billy Willard, Steve Coles, the infamous Bob Gimlin, and yours truly. And they make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for April 24th. Now, it's that time of the year. Fish and wildlife officials are asking drivers to share the road with reptiles.
Yes.
Spring is the breeding season for frogs, turtles, salamanders, and other reptiles. So please, motorists are asked to slow down and be particularly vigilant near wetlands and ponds. Right, and rainy spring nights bring out the reptiles in droves or herds.
You're right. We've already rescued a snapping turtle that was crossing the road to go lay eggs. So please, yeah, slow down.
Yeah, now is the season.
You know the bumper sticker on my truck says, I break for snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
That's right.
Not a lie. Go ahead, Dr. D.
All right. On the same note, drivers are being advised to watch for bison as they migrate out of Yellowstone National Park. Now, we've lost a few bison in the last couple of months. Two were just killed this last week after being struck on U.S. Highway 89.
Ooh. My dad had a friend who hit a bison out there, and it totaled his car. It was one of those station wagons with wood on the side.
Do you really think that was wood?
Well, I don't know.
Seriously?
Yeah, it could be wood. I'm not sure.
It might have been wood, yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe not.
All right, for our next public service announcement, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is asking residents along our coastlines to be wary of seal pups on the local beaches. Yes, it's the seal pup season. Now, seals give birth to their pups in late winter and early spring.
We're watching for wildlife this week, Dr. Day. Good job.
Yeah, well, got to keep our eyes up.
Yeah.
All right, and I call this next story Snack on a Rope. Pocatello, Idaho. Authorities have closed a trail after two coyotes approached a woman walking a small dog on a leash.
Uh-oh.
Yes, and one of the coyotes attacked the dog. The dog's okay. But if we've warned our listeners before, do not go out into the woods with bait.
No, don't do that. You know, the national parks, you can't walk a dog because of that very same reason.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea. And, you know, if you're going to do that, get a really big dog.
Yeah.
Two or three of them.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't really go into the woods with small children?
Well, in Indiana,
don't go in with bait. Maybe I want to go in the woods with small children.
It just depends on where you live, but, you know.
Yeah.
When you're outsides, when you're out in the wilderness, you have to be aware of all times and your surroundings and every moment.
That's right.
All right. Now, you'll enjoy this next story, Mr. Batson. Ocean Shores, Washington. Yes, police seized a four-foot-long alligator that was living in a small apartment.
Mm.
They're not sure how he could afford it, but he was living there. Now, a Fish and Wildlife officer brought Snappy, is his name, to the Thurston County Animal Shelter, where the reptile will be placed in a sanctuary.
You know, we pulled a 9-foot alligator out of a house one time, and they were foreclosed, and he couldn't afford it.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous these days.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people don't know you had a world-famous alligator.
We did, Adolf.
Adolf, that's right. He was in every paper across the United States, around the world.
Yeah, he ran amok. He was in a pond in Boone County here in Indiana.
That's
you know why we named him Adolf, Dr. Day?
Yes, because he almost ate off two of your fingers.
That's right.
That's right. True story.
That is true.
All right, Santa Fe, New Mexico. The New Mexico Department of Game and Fish has returned three young bobcats into the wild. Now, the cats were rehabilitated at the wildlife center there, and after they were found in a residential area.
Hmm. Well, good for them.
Yes, rescuing bobcats. Those little cute, they are cute as babies and adults.
But when they grow up, they're so brutal.
Yeah.
I think that's the only cat I've ever worked with that I actually feared for my life. They're something else.
Cody. I remember Cody was around for a long time.
Yeah, and we had one after that, Gus, and he was, my wife could handle him great, but man alive, it wasn't pretty. That's all I'll say. They don't make good pets.
Yes, so.
Yeah.
You hear that? They don't make good pets.
Yeah.
All right, a 3-minute video of hundreds of elk hopping a fence is an online hit in Bozeman, Montana. Now, Austin Stonell, 19, shot the video on his way home from work, and the video has received a couple of million hits already.
Cool.
So if you want to see elk hopping the fence, there you go.
That should be entertaining and educational at the same time.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Now, beware if you live in bear country. The U.S. Forest Service is urging those who are outdoors to be careful around bears. Yeah.
Yeah,
always be careful around bears. Yeah, now the problem is they're wandering into suburbia, drawn in by the delicious scents of bird feeders and trash cans.
What Einstein wrote that?
And especially this year, since we had a weird winter, so the bears are going to be hungry.
They are hungry.
Yes.
Mine are looking at me right now. Go ahead. Sorry.
Is their water trough full?
Their water trough is full, and they've had their dinner for tonight, but they're still looking at me.
Are you getting any the wood frog tadpoles yet?
No, we moved the alligators into their outside pond for the wood frog tadpoles lived, and they've
scattered.
they had to be relocated. So now our creek has 10,000 wood frog tadpoles.
Oh, that's great. I'll have to come out and get a few for my pond.
Okay.
All right. Now, seems to be an outbreak of ticks in Alaska. Fairbanks, yes, you wouldn't believe it, but ticks actually do live in Alaska.
No kidding.
Yes, now, some of the ticks are hair ticks, which have always survived in the state, but the non-native dog ticks are also being found, which raises concern for the dog's wildlife and, of course, the risk of spreading diseases to humans.
Yeah. Well, they do. You know, Jim Fowler, star of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, he has Lyme disease from a tick bite, and he got it in Connecticut taking stuff out to his compost pile. And he's traveled all around the world, been here, there, and everywhere, and he gets Lyme disease from a tick in Connecticut.
Yep, that's right.
Behind his house.
Yep, let me do my Marlon Perkins. I'll hover here safely in this helicopter while Jim wrestles the giant anaconda in the swamp below.
Well, you know what, Henry? I'm pretty sure you might have missed your calling.
Hey, all right, let's get on with this. We're running long tonight.
Oh, wait, I chime in, so he's like, yeah, none of that.
Now, a pair of ospreys that had built their nest atop a pole holding the Chesapeake Bay Bridge traffic camera will have to find a new home. Yeah, officials have removed the nest so that the camera's view isn't blocked and for the safety of the birds. Now, the reason why they could do this is that there were no eggs or young in the nest. Had there been babies?
Have there?
We would have won.
Yeah. Good report, Dr. Day.
All right, now, North Reading, Massachusetts. Police responding to reports of an intruder in a woman's house found out quickly that they quacked the case. Yes, during a search of the home, police found a soot-covered wood duck, and the duck apparently seems to have gotten in through the chimney.
What did they do to the case?
What is up?
They quacked the case, is that what you said?
They quacked the case, yes.
Oh, God.
All right, if you like that one, listen. A duck walks into a pharmacy, says, give me some chapstick and put it on my bill.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You need to fire your staff.
All right, this sounds like a scary movie. Many storms of tumbleweed have invaded the drought-stricken prairie of southern Colorado. Yes. Little clouds of tumbleweeds. Now, they've been blocking the rural roads, irrigation canals, and briefly barricading homes and an elementary school.
Hmm. I heard that.
I've been through that before when I was stationed in El Paso. Driving back from bivouac in the desert, picked up, I don't know, 35, 40 tumbleweeds on the front of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a sight to see. Every once in a while, you'd lose one. It'd fly over, but... You know the interesting thing about tumbleweeds? Do you know why they tumble?
Please tell us.
Well, they have little barbs on them that are actually their seeds, kind of like a rose barb.
Yeah.
And as they tumble across the desert, they deposit their seeds.
Well, thank you. I wasn't aware of that.
Yep.
Makes me think of Roy Rogers.
This is an interesting show, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Educational, too.
All right, let's do the local news. Fort Wayne, Indiana. Officials say a squirrel caused about $300,000 in damage to a community center set to open in June. Yes, the officials said the squirrel got into the electrical equipment, causing a power surge that damaged the heating and air conditioning systems.
God.
Yes, and the squirrel did not make it.
Oh, that's
did
too
not
bad.
Survive. No.
That's too bad.
All right, on the same note, Richmond, Indiana, hundreds of homes in the eastern part of Indiana lost power in the middle of the night after officials say two raccoons slipped into the power substation and short-circuited the electrical breakers.
Oh, God.
It sounds
darn
like
animal.
Yeah, it sounds like they're getting together.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy.
You know what that reminds me of? Back in the 60s, wasn't there a cereal called Crispy Critters?
I think there was.
I think there was too.
Yeah.
I was still. I was not born. Sorry. Can't
you don't need to bring that up so soon.
Yeah. I'm just a youngster.
All right. Back to local news. We're having a mushroom festival this weekend.
Oh.
Yes, and not the kind our guests were hoping for. Now, this is the Morel Festival. Yes, the Morel Festival at Bill Monroe's Music Park down in Bean Blossom, Indiana.
Well, that's down in Toby Myers' neck of the woods. He may attend that.
Yep, that's a good idea. It's going to be a great thing. There will be 15 bands and 12 hours of classes and seminars on the Morel mushrooms.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so a good time will be had by all.
Yeah.
Have you found any mushrooms yet?
I haven't looked. You have to see a snake, a bee, and a butterfly. And I've yet to see a butterfly, and I've yet to see a snake yet. Oh, somebody told me they spotted a snake the other day, so.
Well,
but that's the three
soon.
Things
well,
you have to look for.
You can learn all that this weekend, but you know
well,
that
I know
already.
It all already.
All right, well, who got older this week? I'm going to tell you. Glenn Campbell is 78.
God bless him.
Iggy Pop is 67.
Yeah.
And Peter Frampton turned 64.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable is right. All right, are you ready for the Wild World facts of the day?
Hold on, I got to sit down. Okay, I'm ready.
All right. A camel's milk does not curdle. Yes, a snail can sleep for 3 years, and a bullfrog never sleeps.
Oh, God.
Hmm. Yeah, now, we had Earth Day this week.
Yeah.
I know.
It was Earth Day. It originated in the U.S., but became recognized worldwide by 1990.
Yeah.
We did a good job back in the 70s.
Yes, we did.
All right, well, that's the Wild World News for April 24th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, newly renovated. We're so excited. We want to remind everyone that this part of the program is brought to you by my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, also our wildlife education programs, and our wonderful Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. It's now that time. Something you need to do to start
I'm
off.
Not going to keep waiting around for Paul Stanley.
Okay.
I'm about to give up. You know what? What in the world is going on? There are entirely too many people on this radio show tonight, and I'm afraid that I'm not going to get to do much talking, which, I don't know, that's disturbing a little bit, but I'll get over it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, Animal Guy, I suppose I'll take attendance, right?
Yes, you need to take attendance, make sure we're all here.
Yeah, well, we know you are.
Yeah.
We've heard from you, and we've heard from Dr. Day. And where's that sexy beast, Billy Willard?
I'm over here.
Oh, Billy, baby. I still remember what you said to me when I sang to you. Thanks.
Oh, I knew you would savor that.
I am savoring that. Yep, it's going to be
tell our
my
guest
feet,
what Billy
so.
Said. Tell our guest what Billy said. That
Billy,
day.
I sang to Billy once or twice, or I sang to a lot of people several times, and I really do not sing well, but... Billy said I gave it my best shot, which is going to be on my tombstone someday. She gave it her best shot. Yep, I'm going to be buried in a Kiss casket. They sell those. They're kind of pricey, but all of my radio friends will chip in and pay for it, right? Sure.
That's right.
And, I'm going to have my tombstone. Of course, it's definitely going to say she gave it her best shot.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. So I hear there's some hunk of burning love named Carl that's supposed to be on the show. Carl? Hello, Carl.
Hello. Yeah.
Hey, Carl.
I
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
I sure can. Yeah.
How are you? We spoke a little bit before the show, and I enjoyed it.
Oh, well.
It's good to be. It's good to be on the show, and good to be back, Larry and Doctor. How are you?
Good. We're doing good tonight.
We're good.
Really excited about the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm excited that some of my old buddies are being quiet back there in the background somewhere. And I'm going to get to hear them talk tonight. So
hey, we're going to start.
This is really exciting.
Hey, Dave, where are you, Dave?
I'm here. I'm just listening. I'm still writing down stuff about the bullfrog. Taking notes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what?
I kind of feel like a bullfrog, actually. I haven't slept much lately.
You know what, Dave? When you take notes, that really impresses the teacher. Just saying.
What's that now?
Ooh. Yeah, Dave's taking notes. Teachers like that.
Yes, I neglected to say Mrs. Swihart is a first grade teacher.
Oh, yes. You didn't tell him that?
Yeah, teacher of the year, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, we heard that.
Yeah, I'm a teacher sitting at my desk right now. Oh, doing my plans for my sub tomorrow. Anyway, okay, wait, I'm not done. This attendance is taking entirely too long. Toby, where's Toby?
He's in Brown County.
Oh, I see.
Toby,
nice
are you there, Toby? Toby.
Yes, sir.
I just want to have a conversation with Toby, if everyone could just let us talk a while. I haven't talked to him in a while, so. Have you been, man?
Benny, I miss you, and I don't know. I love seeing the old photos of you with the shoulder-length hair and the big mustache. Buddy, I miss you, and I miss seeing you guys play, and it's great hearing your voice, Benny.
Right back at you, Toby. I love you, man.
Toby, excuse me.
Oh, that's
Toby,
all right.
Benny was almost, with that mustache and the long hair, I think he was going to be a porn star at one point in time.
Oh, goodness.
This is our old radio, isn't it?
I'll tell you the problem was, the only thing that was long was my hair. That was the problem with that.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, Lord.
Excuse me, size does not matter. You know.
I'm going to say, by the way, the only person in this conversation that hasn't slept in my spare bedroom is Toby.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, Toby, you're going to have to come up and spend a weekend sometime.
Okay. Well, if I don't have to wear an ankle bracelet, I'll be there.
Does it have to be the spare bedroom?
Continue with attendance, because the biggest juvenile language yet.
Asher, where are you?
I'm just going to listen for a while. You guys talk.
Right. Are you the one that likes to just lay there and let everybody else do the work?
Yeah, I think so.
A real porn star.
Typical man.
Yeah, a real porn star. There you go.
Yeah. Oh my word. Yeah, so we have a lot of people with us tonight. And you know what's really, really cool? I am the only girl, so I'm getting like the royal treatment.
And
right?
You forgot the biggest juvenile delinquent in this entire class.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Who?
We're saving him.
Tell me.
Who? Asher Ben Ruby.
I said
there you go. Where is he, though?
Could you guys quiet down? I'm in the middle of watching salamander breeding season.
There's some more porn.
Slow that car down, Ed. Slow down.
I say hi to Larry Batson, the 21st century Ramar of the jungle, Simba Ungawa to you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, fellas?
Good to hear your voice, Asher.
Say hi to my man Carl. Benny, I have slept in that bedroom, although it was a little pup tent on the floor, but nevertheless, a wonderful time. In a wonderful time. And that's my man Meters Vars over there. What's going on, partner?
What's up, big man?
My love for you guys, that's what's up. I tell you what, just to think about all the things that we could talk about is just thrilling me right now because we all got great stories we can roll on, you know.
Oh, please do. About it. Please do.
I knew you were being quiet for some reason, because if we get you going, nobody else will stand a chance here.
Well, then allow me to lead in a way that will allow everyone to flourish.
Well said.
Hey, Asher, you're a professional. You're a professional. This is time for a pro to take over. You go ahead.
I tell you what. One of the greatest stories ever is me and Toby Myers. I had named everybody in the band at that time. I don't know, we were Pure Funk, or had already changed over to Roadmaster. But I couldn't come up with a name for myself for a little while there because of my size and my look. I hadn't cut my hair like in 3 years. I called myself Nat King Kong. That wasn't that.
I remember.
You remember that? And then
one night, this is how
the Mighty Atom Smasher came about. One night, we're sleeping, plutonically speaking, in some hotel by Rush West. Remember this, Tobe?
I do, yes.
Tobe wakes me up in the middle of, I'd say maybe 4 a.m. in the morning, something like that, for a musician, that's the middle of the night, and says, I got it. I got your stage name. I said, what? Because, you know, I just woke up. He said, the Mighty Adam, A-D-A-M, Smasher. And boom, I took that name from then on and ran with it for, about 45 years now, to something like that. So I thank you. I made a career out of the Mighty Adam Smasher, man.
Hey, dude, I was checking out your site today, and it was Smash St. Louis. And if that's what it's evolved into, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've been blessed with good success in the three cities that I did radio in.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Lord, you know. But I tell you, one of the greatest times that I've had recently is hanging out with Benny at Benny's house. And then, Carl, you remember you came in. We did a little tiny recording session over there. And just reminisced having
You wrote a beautiful song. I still have on my phone a song that you were writing, and I won't talk about that song too much, but the way you sang it, we want to know. Oh, get your head out your blank. I don't know.
Because Carl gave me a challenge to get people motivated and everything. So I said, get your head out your ass. Let's go ahead. Let's rock and roll. That's what it was.
I wasn't going to actually say it, but the way you get your head out your ass. Oh, I still got it. I still listen to it in the morning just to be inspired. I'll say I better listen to a little Smash right now.
Right.
Hey, Ash, by the way, I finally got my hands on that hard drive, and I'll be getting you a copy of that song soon.
Fantastic.
Hey,
man.
Larry. Yeah. Larry, don't you love the way we use your show to communicate personal matters?
Oh, yeah,
it's
we
like
do
a family
Absolutely.
Reunion. Or
That's
something.
What we're here for.
Yeah.
Hey, Carl.
No.
And while you mentioned we need to hear a little Smash, I think it's the perfect time.
Hey, Carl. Well,
yes, sir.
Go on now.
Hey.
Is anybody having a good time tonight? When I was born, the sky was filled with thunder. The doctors could not believe their eyes and ears. As I went through life, folks around me, it kept doing
What do I have to do?
Come on.
Was that a live version?
What's that? That was live at the Vogue, 1993, if I'm thinking correctly, right, Tobe?
It had to be live. It had to be live because I said, I know I heard you say, come on, girl, show me your titties.
Yes, I heard that.
what I was doing is that there's so many people there from the old IU days. I mean, so many. And so I was just kind of doing those kind of frat parties we used to play back in the old days as pure funk. And that's just what we used to do. Tobe, remember, we used to just jam them in there. Faith Band did the same thing, too. We played the same type of circuit. Once we started up Top Banana Talent, we took the gigs the other couldn't take, and we helped build ourselves that way. And then, of course, we got the fans. WNAP Radio helped build us the whole works there, man. That was a golden era.
Right.
Well, you know, hey, I remember. Go ahead.
Hey, Carl.
Yes?
Hey, this is Tobe. Hey, did you guys ever play down in Florida, like in Fort Lauderdale, at a place called Big Daddy's?
Big Daddy's.
I know we played somewhere in Florida, but believe me, when we were playing places in Florida, I don't remember any of the cities.
Okay. Well, we just know it was warm and we could go without our shirts.
What was that, Dave?
We played in Pensacola several times. That's where we played.
And Jacksonville, didn't we?
I don't know. Pensacola, northern, way up north.
Well, okay. No, I don't think we didn't play Big Daddy's, Tobe, to answer your question then.
Okay. Well, Rube, I was wanting to know if you can remember the time we went down. I believe it was during a spring break for a lot of colleges.
Yep.
And we played
yep.
for 3 weeks at Big Daddy's in Fort Lauderdale.
I do remember.
Good
that was
job.
Magnificent.
Can you remember the night that the IU people were there and it was like we were playing at the Bluebird?
That was magnificent. And Big Daddy's not only was a beach bar, but it was a biker bar also, and it was just magnificent. We had back in those days, man, you'd have like 5-6 guys in one motel room, and that's why you had like a different chick in every town, because that way that helped ease the motel bill. But you go stay with her, but you're doing this particular, so, I mean, there's a sexual association, but more economically based.
So
economically.
Are you taking notes?
Asher, I got to lay one on you. Okay, we used to play at a place in Cincinnati called Reflections.
Reflections?
I remember we played there, yeah.
Okay, so Rube. Yep. Do you remember the night that we went with those two African-American ladies back to their place? And when we got there, we were puffing the herb that spins the verb. And we looked up, and on the wall there was a black light poster of a couple of African-American people, a man and a woman in a soulful embrace, naked with gigantic bows. And from that night on, all I had to do was give Ben Ruby a look on stage, and we would both get down on our knees and hug each other. And no one knew what the fuck was.
Oh, that's
well.
And you know, one of those girls wound up being Sonala Jones, who we wrote a song.
I thought that was the deal. Yeah,
that was it, man. That was it. Golly, I'll never forget that poster too. Because I do this routine here in St. Louis in Smash Band, talking about the various black light posters that are up on the wall. And then I get to the 12-position Zodiac Love poster. I, of course, prefer Gemini, even though I wasn't. And that poster comes so – I just remember that, and we'd fall to our knees, and it was magnificent. But I tell you what, man, we had a great gang of people between those two bands – Roadmaster and Faith Band.
Right.
And we traveled the circuit, you know, Faith Band took off with, what's that guy's name? He was with Grand Funk Railroad at the time. What's the name of that guy?
Terry Knight.
Yeah, Terry Knight. Exactly right. And Faith Band, and then we, of course, wound up playing Chicago all the time. And part of the reason we would play there all the time is because we were trying to hit up this guy named Robin. I can't remember Robin's last name, but he was the vice president of A&R. For Mercury Records. So the band eventually, after I had left, got signed with Mercury Records. And, of course, you got great albums, what, four or five albums that came out of that after the original Roadmaster album. In my opinion, the premier album was Sweet Music. But my favorite Roadmaster song was In the Light that Toby sings on the first album.
Oh,
that is a,
come on.
Oh, I'm dead serious.
It was good.
I played on my radio show. I play Brave, Brave World by Faith Band on my radio show, man. That's my favorite Faith Band tune. That's serious business. And, of course.
Okay. Hey, Benny.
All right, I'll listen. Go ahead.
Here's one for you. Now, Rube was talking about a tune on the first record that we did, In the Light, but we had one called Boogalate, which was in a major key of the same riff as Such a Lady, Such a Lover, which was in a minor key for you guys, but we ripped the riff off and put it in a major key and turned it into Boogalate.
That's
great.
Fun.
Asher sitting in with our band once and singing that song, and he would sing Hutch a Lady, Hutch a Lover.
Hutch a Lady.
Hutch a Lover, yeah. That was the funniest song.
Mr. Batson, are you still with us?
Yes, we are. In fact, you guys are talking Faith Band music. Hey, let's go.
Let's hear some.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What a great song.
No kidding.
That was Toby's favorite.
I always try to practice self-restraint. Boy, no kid, buddy. I love this one.
I would never put a friend to change.
And this right here. Oh, that is sick. Yeah.
My friends are all your average dumb bum. Now they say desire must be overcome.
What a voice.
But I lost all my equilibrium. Think I wanna forget you. Mm-hmm. Now when I'm alone, there's nobody really home. My thoughts just sort of fly away. I'm pacing out my days in a cage, on a phase, on a stage. I don't know. There's a madman walking around in my shoes.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
think I destroy that.
Hey, fans, is that just...
I'm listening to Johnny Casella play saxophone there.
That
was a killer band with Casella and then with Dave Barnes on drums, Mark Cawley, and, of course, Carl and Benny over there. But I'll never forget, we were doing a gig. It was Roadmaster and Faith Band somewhere. I can't remember where it was. But I tell Johnny Casella, because he had, for some reason, brought two saxophones that night. I say, how about you stand behind the speakers? You remember this? I'll tell you what. I say, why don't you stand behind the speakers? I'll take your other saxophone out, and I'll go out there and like play a solo in the middle of one of the Roadmaster tunes. And so I went out there and played a solo and acted, you know, just all into it and everything, and just fingering the keys and everything on the saxophone. But it was Casella on the background, and at the end of the thing, I got such a rousing applause. It was phenomenal, man. Thanks to Johnny Casella on that, man. We had good times together. Toby, remember when Bone got that Moog synthesizer? Because Johnny Casella had gotten one, so we'd say, we got to... But Bone wound up getting that Mellotron. Remember that, carrying that thing around, man?
Military Park, brother. That's the first time we saw those guys with that synthesizer, and we were struck like lightning. We were like, holy shit. Hey, we got a fucking deal here, buddy.
The last time I was on Larry's show, I spent about 10 minutes talking about how John Casella had one of the first Moog synthesizers in Indiana, you know? I asked Dave, I said, hey, he did, didn't he? And Dave's confirmed it. But, hey, Toby, let me ask you this. You remember giving me a five-minute lecture about how not to start the show with Possess You. You said, that's too good of a song to start the show with, man.
Oh, well yes, need- Carl. Hey, Carl, I would give you the same talk right now.
Well, we're still starting with it, so.
Hey, Carl, let me ask you this.
That's a moot point now.
Hey, Carl, do you think that a white powder may have been involved when I was giving you that talk?
She's, you know, back then I did have an awful chaff. I had a terrible chaff, and I would use that, I forget, what is it? I know it was an Arm and Hammer, but it was something similar.
Mrs. Swihart, I told you they were going to be bad.
Yeah, I'm grading papers.
Hey, I tell you what, one of the greatest guitar players I've ever had the pleasure of seeing and being in a band. We were in a band together for a little while called the Legendary Firebirds. That's Dave Bennett. One of the great things about Dave Bennett is almost, you know, I mean, he could play any kind of music, man. Just tell him and boom, he would go off. Him, the great R.S., Rob Swaney, Ricky Bennett, all the guys we ever had in these bands have also been phenomenal
playing, man.
Guitar players.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that wild? It's fantastic.
And they're
still
great, yeah.
Hey, Smash.
Thank you, Smash. That's awful nice of you. Thank you, man.
Oh, I'm serious.
And Smash, I mean, Benny and Carl, and I couldn't be a bigger Faith Band groupie, and going all the way back to Chosen Few, and it makes me, I've always sometimes tried to think, where was the first time I saw those guys? And I've got to, I think it has to be at the Triangle in Greenville, Ohio. And I believe I was a senior in high school, and some guys said, well, let's drive across the state line and drink 3-2 beer. And we went over there, and Asher, we eventually ended up playing there a little bit, too. I think it was a big old dairy farm or something like that. But
I remember.
That's the first time I saw Chosen Few, and the thing that struck me that night was how friggin' tight and funky these guys were, and Johnny C's B3 just crushing that place.
Yeah.
I tell you what, but through the years, you know, when Mark joined the band, God, I'll never forget seeing them the first time with Mark Cawley out, going, holy, there's a new sheriff in town, buddy. Cawley. Yeah, buddy, it's so nice to hear Benny and Carl over there.
Hey, Toby, it occurs to me what made us a good match when we would play gigs together was that we were so different, our styles. You guys played rock. I mean, you played rock with style. It was really poppy rock kind of stuff. And we were just basically a rhythm and blues band.
Yeah.
And it was a good match. You know, we weren't competing in any way. We were totally different.
And Benny, yeah. That was something I was thinking about today, was thinking about how different the two bands really were. I mean, we really were. With Asher, it was... It's hard to say what the band was in the beginning, because I was more content to hear Asher's impressions. I mean, his Johnny Mathis was...
I tell you what, you guys were. You guys were a show,
oh,
man.
My God. I tell you what, you're right, Benny. We were so different, but we were similar in the fact that we just delivered killer performances for people,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. You know, one guy that we don't want to pass up on here was another great vocalist. I was my kind of vocalist.
Oh,
Carl's his kind of vocalist.
I'm talking about
Steve McNally there, man. I tell you what, Pure Funk Roadmaster was one kind of party entertainment type band. And then upon my departure, they stepped it up with Steve McNally and turned it into the arena concert band, and the music just fit his voice magnificently, man. So was just magnificent.
The harmony
is magnificent era again, you know.
Well, what a perfect setup, Smash. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I love that song. That song is so awesome.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what a pure voice, man. Was that a pure voice or what?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, I used to sing that song in its early days because I think for the most part, Bone and Tobe wrote it, maybe a touch of Ricky over there. I came in with the words, and I was singing that song back then, and it was okay. But when I heard Max sing it, I thought, wow, I should have pulled out a long time ago.
Because
that was a perfect voice.
That sounds like a top 10 hit, man. That's just a beautiful song.
That's what I was going to say. Why didn't that song make it? I don't understand it.
You can ask the same question in a number of Roadmaster songs, especially at the Sweet Music starting point. But you can also ask the same question of the Faith Man songs too.
Lord God, yes.
I don't lament every day over that kind of stuff, but that is a good question because in all honesty, and me doing this 37 years of radio work here, in all honesty, that's as good as anything I've ever played on the air, man.
Hell, yeah, I have to agree with you.
Well, I have to say that having a chance to go to those clubs and places that you both bands played, that what a phenomenal.
Yeah.
How lucky we were to have Faith Band and
you know, Larry, the last time I was on your show, you said, Carl, if you wanted to see some beautiful women, go to a Faith Band concert. Well,
true.
I had just the opposite feeling. If I wanted to see some beautiful women, I would try to make a Roadmaster show.
Well, either
because,
one.
Because those guys, I don't know, those guys had Toby
they
had
were
a
glamorous, pet. Carl. They were glamorous, you know?
They were glamorous, and I think Toby had a pet Gila monster taped to himself somewhere.
Hey, I'll tell you, Asher had a nickname, and I believe it was Lucille Ball.
Lucille
yeah.
Ball, buddy. That's too many good stories to tell off of Lucille Ball, but... I do not wish to incriminate the innocent, shall we say.
I'd like to interject one thing. We were talking about how that sweet music thing sounded kind of like pop rock, kind of like, you know, Yes, Genesis, something like that. But at any rate, Rube was right. We were playing that song when Rube was singing it, and one time in an interview, the interviewer asked, Asher, he goes like, well, how would you describe what you got? What is it you guys do on stage? And Ruben was like, well, we like to try to cover all the musical ground between James Brown and Yes. And basically we did.
That's fantastic. James Brown and Yes.
Hey, but let me tell you what. One of the great things about not only gigging with both bands was me and Carl lived together at one time. Remember that, Carl?
Oh, gosh. Are you going to tell this story?
I've never heard of it. At that time, we were musicians. We were working 7 days a week, coming off of paying bills and everything with $50 apiece, and we were sadly happily sad about it, you know? And so we lived in this house, me and... Who else lived in there, Carl? Somebody else lived
Dave,
in there with us.
Dave Barnes. I think Terry Barnes even.
Was Terry in there? I think Terry was too, man. And so this house was an old farmhouse. I don't even know if it's still there on 86th Street, just between College and Meridian. And this house was like a beehive. It had nothing but bees and hornets in the walls.
Oh,
if we'd have torn those walls down, there'd have been honey in the walls, man. Serious business.
Cool.
I'll never forget I happened to have a date there one night, and I woke up the next morning with bees swarming around us. Anyway,
man.
So we had no money for like things, all right? And so I kept all my things back then in paper grocery bags. Yeah, paper grocery bags, so
they
didn't have paper or plastic.
Bags. It wasn't trash bags. Okay. Go ahead.
They were grocery bags. I remember very well. And so one day, I had everything, and I had my whole life savings to that point in these bags, so I figured nobody would look in the bags to steal any money or nothing, all right? And then I had some other things that were very, very personal to me. And so I come home, and Carl's joyous one day, and I said,
well,
what are you so happy about? He said, I just cleaned the house. I said, oh, really? I go upstairs, and my room is made, but all the things that were in the grocery sack bags were gone. And I asked him, I said, what did you, I threw them all away. And I remember the words, you don't know. There's something like along the lines of, you don't know what you just threw away, because, you know, that was
Larry.
My whole life in there.
Yeah.
But we had a magnificent time living together, and then, remember, when we were able to start making a little money, we moved over to Tudor Lake.
Yep.
And you'd come over there and stay over there. Me and Terry Barnes were over there. We'd ride our motorcycles into the living room, right up the steps into the living room. And we were heathens back then. It was magnificent. And, you know, through the help of guys like Terry Barnes and Joe Halderman and guys like that at Sunshine Promotion, man, we
For people who don't know, you should probably mention that was our management team.
Yes.
Sunshine Promotion.
God
right.
help them.
And then,
yeah, exactly
did,
right.
you, did you name Top Banana Ash?
Yeah, I named Top Banana because we were the Top Bananas at that time, man, and that was
there
a term
you go.
Back then. Yeah,
that was
you
a
know,
booking
you can't,
agency.
You can't use that. You can't use that term nowadays because they'll think you're antiquated. But that was cool.
Hey, really?
I tell you what, man. Just thinking out loud, and I'm gonna stop. I'll react to you guys. But one of the great things on these two bands was the drummers. You guys had Dave Barnes since inception. We were fortunate enough to really kind of start with Roger Holloway back in the Pure Funk days. Well, Patrick
Nolan yeah.
in the Frenchie and the Wee Wee days. And then we wound up with Doug Kennerly. And then after that, Steve Riley, who I loved getting
God,
him mad
great.
Because he...
Steve
he,
Riley, Marky Z is who you were thinking of.
And,
I played
and
with the band
then after
Marky
that, Bobby
Z,
you know. Johns, of course.
Yeah.
But Steve Riley, I used to love pissing him off, man, because he would get so mad. You remember that, though?
How about when he used to, Rube, he'd ask you for, Rube, can I have an advance? Advance.
Rube, what was Steve's name again?
Steve Riley.
Steve Riley.
What's that? Steve Riley.
I play with a band called Marky Z down here in Dallas. And we've been trying to remember who that drummer was. Because
oh, yeah.
he was from up east. He was up from out east,
yeah.
wasn't he?
Yeah, he's from
he had a real
Revere, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Really,
he was
had a
thunderous.
Real strong accent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
was
there you
we
go.
We always had great drummers. Always had great drummers. You, of course, had one of the greatest in Dave Barnes, man. So, you know what the other great thing is? All this stuff's coming back to me now is how we started up serious business. And people don't know this, historically speaking, and this is for real. Mm-hmm. All right? I ain't making stuff up. This is for real. We changed Broad Ripple. Faith Band
yeah.
and Roadmaster because
yep.
Chubby Wadsworth had the patio over there, okay?
Exactly.
And that was right across the street from the windows of Top Banana Talent, second floor of whatever that big long building is across the street. And so they had country bands there over time. And it's kind
right.
of like nobody wants to see country bands in Broad Ripple. And so
exactly.
we were changing over. We went over and talked Chubby Wadsworth, me and Terry Barnes and Joe, into having Roadmaster and Faith Band. And from that moment on, Broad Ripple changed, man. It became, you know, the mecca that it became musically speaking. And then I don't know what they do there now. I ain't been there in about 20 years or so. But nevertheless, I remember that whole change.
Don't go.
Can I
don't
tell you
go.
A real quick story about that, Ash?
Yeah.
We warmed up for John Hiatt, who went on to make it huge, you know. So John
yeah.
Hiatt's sitting on his stool playing his country-type stuff. He lived down on Meridian Street in a big house.
Yeah.
And John Hiatt... We came on. I'm in the restroom, standing there with John Hiatt. We're urinating, I think. And he looks over at me and he says, "That band has ruined this place. The patio will never be the same." And I kind of crunched up and so he wouldn't know that I was the singer in the band
yeah.
that it just ruined it. And he said, and he was right, man. It was never the same after that.
No,
but I remember
became,
that very day that was the last time I think I ever heard of any kind of music like that.
Yeah.
That wasn't rock and roll.
Yeah.
No,
we
John
also
Hyatt,
helped
guys,
we also helped those
John
guys
Hyatt
open up
story.
the Vogue.
Well, I was just going to say another John Hiatt story. The last gig we played in Faith Band before we split up was at the Garage in Indianapolis, and John Hiatt showed up for our last show. And at that time, he was already a big star. And he hung out back in the dressing room with us, was very nice and gracious and complimentary. And that kind of made a really nice ending. To,
that's
you
cool.
know.
Well,
yeah,
I'm
glad
you know, the Faith Band had one of the great songs ever to come out of music in Indianapolis. And Carl's Story.
Yep.
I don't remember
the
one
that
this
got
one.
Us all the deal.
Too many long conversations.
Oh, boy. A story about
no
tonight.
No one is hearing a word. Trying to escape the frustration. Till a song in the night can be heard.
Oh, my Lord.
Put on
Beautiful.
Oh, wow.
A masterpiece of a song there. I tell you, that song
good
affected me.
Work.
How about that song affected me?
Guitar work.
Well, that's great. I tell you what, that's not only great guitar work, that's virtuoso
yeah.
guitar work right there.
That
oh,
is great stuff,
so
man.
Much.
I tell you what, that stuff at the top, woo.
Well, I tell you, that song for me, you know, made me, my reaction, I went out and bought me a pair of Capizios. Me.
What?
And I danced like nobody's
oh,
business.
I had to have
oh,
a new pair every month. Capizios. Those are the little dancing shoes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Capizios.
They were of the day. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Can I tell a little story about some shoes that Asher had one time? Okay, here. When we were playing down at Reflections, we had a pretty colorful road crew. We had Roger Holloway's little brother, Scott Punko.
Yeah.
We had Punko and Foofle. And Foofle was
yeah.
Jerry Nip, who had really straight, really long hair. And we used to get Foofle to comb his hair straight down over his face and then put his horn-rimmed glasses back on so he could be, what was that, Cousin It or something?
Cousin
At any rate, so Rube took on this persona of Myron Glitter. He was Myron Glitter for a while. So you had those leather shoes that laced up about two times, and you
yeah.
gave me a pair of them that you didn't want anymore, and I took them
yeah.
to my brother, and we drew an outline of the sole, and then my brother cut that sole out of like half-inch plywood about 10 times, and then we laminated
yeah.
those 10 stacks of plywood and put it back on those shoes and then turned them into glitter. Can you remember where?
I was a foot taller because all this plywood that was nailed and plastered together and everything, and I was a foot taller, and I'd come out. I was Gene Simmons before Gene Simmons was cool.
Easily.
Because those shoes, people would be just rolling when they saw those shoes, because one of the great things about our band, as far as the entertainment value is concerned in that day, was that we kind of like, back then it was called a pimp job, we kind of pimp jobbed all these bands that thought they were something, when in reality all I had to do was have my buddies put some plywood on the bottom of my shoes, and all of a sudden I'm glammed up like you see? So that was kind of like a play on that whole deal.
Exactly.
That's yep. hysterical.
Yeah.
Well,
I
had green boots like that. They were stacked green boots. Do you guys, any of you guys remember those?
I can remember those.
I remember.
Okay. Well, we were playing in Louisville, Kentucky, and I had on those, I had those green boots. And at that time, I had red bikini underwear, and we were changing. You know how hot and sweaty those clubs would get sometimes. Well, the guys
yep.
hid in my pants. So I had no pants, no shirt. They hid all my clothes, and they were playing one of my songs. So I grabbed a tablecloth, a red tablecloth, tied it around my neck, went out with those red drawers, and those green boots, and that's how I performed that song. Remember that, Benny?
Oh, that's a fact.
And the club owner, the guy that was running the spotlight kept the spotlight in the wrong place, and the club owner fired us, or not fired us, but he just said, "You're not quite the guy you think you are," or something like that. You know,
could you imagine the day with everybody with the phones? Oh my God!
Hold on, man. I've got to get in here on that one. You didn't tell the rest of the story, Carl.
Oh no. Well, I was trying to hope that from being told.
Some girls left and said that your penis was too little.
That was because they were farsighted. They couldn't see. They were blind.
Those were the days. Those were the days before readers.
That's right.
Reader glasses.
Oh, I don't believe this. I can't. You know, when you said that we could go on for, and I haven't heard Larry even. At least, are you still there, Larry?
Oh yeah, I'm enjoying every moment.
Okay. But this has been one of the most wonderful experiences, Larry. And I personally want to thank you for allowing all of us to get together again
same here.
And just talk and hear Tobinus and. And Smash Man, it's just fantastic.
Hey, yeah, we got time. Can I tell one more Chosen Few story?
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
All right.
We've got a lot of time.
It's probably like the summer of 1966, and I just started seeing the guys, and they still, well, not still, but had Carl, it was Haji Baba.
Yep.
And Jack Hamilton was on bass.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So we made a road trip up to Indiana Beach to see The Who and got up there and thought, oh, my God, this is going to be fucking fantastic. And come to find out, the opening act is The Chosen Few. I couldn't have been happier. There's no...
Awesome.
I was friggin' in heaven. So, God dang, it was in the ballroom up there on the water, and there were two stages, of course, and the Chosen Few actually had the fear of the two stages that night. And The Who's gear, a bunch of high-watt amplifiers and Keith Moon's drum kit, was over on the other stage. And the other stage was like a little affair, maybe about a foot tall, but the Chosen Few, my buddies were up there on the bigger stage. Everybody was standing over there by the Who stage waiting for The Who to come out. And I was like, well, fuck that, man. They're not even fucking playing. Listen to these guys over here. These guys are fucking fantastic. And after a while, the entire crowd was over there watching The Chosen Few. It was killing. And then finally, man, they showed up. The whole thing, man, I remember you guys were doing, I believe it was Pink Skies and Lemonade.
Yeah, it was our first recording. Pink Clouds and Lemonade.
And the flip side of that was Stopping the Name of Love, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. That was a better version of the than the A side, but you know what?
I like the both. But I tell you what, Johnny's big B3 smear at the beginning of that. Oh, Stop in the Name of Love! My God, you guys are cool. That's all there was to it.
That was great. I still like to do that version of Stop in the Name of Love. But Benny ended up throwing The Who out of our dressing room because they were being so rude to us. We shared the penthouse. Like, we had the big stage, The Who had the small stage.
Right.
Well, they were going to put The Who in this crappy dressing room downstairs. We thought we'd be nice guys, let them share the big penthouse that Jim Spackman let us have. So they thought we were intruding on them all through the evening. So they were being real rude to our girls and real rude to everyone. Except Keith Mooney, and Benny and I got to hang out with him, and he was a trip. But anyway, Dave was throwing their stuff down the stairway, and I thought he and Entwistle were going to go at it. And Pete Townsend ended up breaking it up, didn't he, Dave, something like that?
Well, Pete Townsend apologized to me and said that there was just a misunderstanding. They thought it was their dressing room. And I said, and which is bullshit, by the way, because they knew what it was, but that's okay now. I forgive them.
Yeah, I do too.
Hey, you know, thinking about one thing, one of the things, the key things in both bands was the keyboard players in that band. Johnny Casella, unparalleled. Then you go to Mike Reed, unparalleled.
Oh, wow.
We're fortunate to have two guys like that who are really kind of like, in a way, music directors in the band and could play anything, man. That's how blessed we were in that particular aspect.
Yeah,
said,
absolutely.
I'd like to say a little bit about our beloved Johnny C. I had been, when I got the Mellencamp gig in 1982, I got to do the first tour with the band and came home, and then John started writing the songs for the next record that was going to be called It was going to come out in 83, and decided that we needed a keyboard player, and he asked me about John, and I said, oh, my God, are you kidding me? It'd be a dream come true to have Johnny C. play in this band. Are you kidding? Let me make the call.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Johnny got the gig with us, and I was living at a little place up by Zionsville, and Johnny was living up on the north side somewhere, too, but the rehearsals for John were going on, you know, down in Monroe County. So that was about, hour and 15-minute commute one way. And Benny and Carl know what a soft-spoken guy Johnny was. And so I'm thinking, well, we're going to ride down there together and back to rehearsals 5 days a week. I'll have somebody to talk to. And so Johnny gets in the car and goes, how you doing, bud? Good. How you been? Good. And then that was it.
You know, I wondered how Johnny C. got in Mellencamp's band. And so, Toby, you're the person that called him, huh?
Well, it was a joint deal because I'm pretty sure we were at the studio, but I think that John put me on the phone first to break the ice, and then I handed the phone to John.
Very cool.
Yeah,
I always wondered
about
that.
You know, Johnny being with us was friggin' amazing. And
So you guys in L.A., man. So you guys in L.A., and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen, really.
I tell you, Johnny's time with us, particularly his ability to do the saxophone, but the accordion thing, my God, a New Jersey state champ, I believe, and when he
was 14,
got the violin and accordion thing going on Lonesome Jubilee, my God, that was our meal ticket with Mellencamp for the next, 5 years, that sound. And, man, I tell you what, when Johnny left us, that was hard.
That was tough, man. I had to sing that day, and his wife asked me to do two or three songs, and I saw about 3 minutes of the video of that, and I looked like some other kind of an alien or something.
I had to play the solo in Dancing Shoes, and I choked. I couldn't play it. I was crying.
Oh,
and Larry Crane had to take over and play the solo. I couldn't do it. I just lost it.
Yeah,
and I was so embarrassed. I was sitting two seats down from Mellencamp, and he probably thought I was an idiot. But Johnny was one of my best friends in the world ever, and it was like losing a mother or a father or a brother or something.
Easily.
I mean,
from the audience standpoint, and I had a chance to see Faith Ben many times. I mean, it was just magnetic. The sound exploded.
Yeah,
I mean, there was nothing like it. And Roadmaster the same. There was no band playing in Indianapolis that were even close at all.
And it was, and what's so unique is that we got to share that time, together, and we were all friends. You know,
okay.
There was never know any rivalry or whatever. We would be glad to open up for Roadmaster because they were a rock band and we were kind of an R&B band.
Carl, we got to hang out
with their chick.
Carl, talk about sharing stuff. How about when the two bands shared that rehearsal space up north of the interstate up there on 465?
Oh, yeah, the warehouses.
Man. Yeah, that was cool. Until I painted on the walls and got in trouble. I made faces and did a little gravity, whatever. I made, I had some black spray paint, and I thought, well, we own the world at this time. I can do that.
There you go.
And,
hey, but you know what, guys? One of the reasons both bands were killer in that day was because we had killer sound guys who actually cared about sound. Thinking about Dan Casting here. Remember with the humongous PAs that we would always have. Remember, didn't Casting once make
them.
Us a white PA?
Yeah.
But we always had great sound guys.
John Cooper, our sound man, was named number one sound man in the world. He works for Bruce Springsteen now.
Punko works for Alan Jackson. Bruce Glimpse worked for Chicago. A bunch of all our sound guys went on to big careers.
That's what I was going to say. Our sound guys made it bigger than we did. I mean, I remember firing Al Ringham because he came in late and said. And he was hungover and what have you. And I said, Cooper, can you make this PA sound good? And he said, oh, yeah, Carl, I can do it. And next thing you know, he's our sound man. And because and now he's doing this Bruce Springsteen thing. And I was just talking with a buddy of mine, Marky Z, down here in Dallas about John Cooper today. Anyway, it's great. What great memories and what a great opportunity to bring
What else is great? I don't know whether this would have been good in our time, but I am getting so many people on my Facebook pages over here just saying they're listening and they're digging it. Our friend Alan Kay, for example, just popped in here. This is just fantastic. If he's sitting in front of this screen and seeing all these old fans from both bands coming on here making their comments in the message section and everything. So,
that's great.
That's great.
Toby, remember when I... trying to be a businessman, bought one of the first ever in Indianapolis portable phones, but it was the size of a briefcase.
Yeah.
And I would get,
I thought you were in the Army.
I thought I was some kind of, you know, executive badass carrying around this briefcase, but I was an executive dumbass is what I was. It was. I never could walk around Broderville thinking I was somebody because I was carrying a phone. Unlike a phone you carry in your pocket now, you had to carry this whole big briefcase, you know. So was the early days of mass communication.
Ash. You needed a roadie for your phone, didn't you?
For the phone, yeah, exactly right. I never forget going out on a boat on White River and using that phone on the boat. I thought I was somebody. Unbelievable. What great memories.
Speaking of White River, I believe it was maybe a 4th of July gig, and for some reason, Rube, you thought that it would be appropriate to wear a toga that night. And somehow a cross was made out of plywood that was like life size. And Esther's got his toga on, he's dragging this cross up the stairs to the stage, and Margie Wallace and Amanda Beatty have got sparklers in both hands, and they just dress to the nines. They look foxy to me. And Asher comes struggling to get on stage with all of his might. God dang!
Carrying
I swear to God, every guy in the band, we were on our knees laughing already. We hadn't even played a note yet.
But you've got all these listeners tonight, man. We need to do some of the new Smash tunes.
God, yes.
Absolutely.
Oh! I appreciate it. This is real. Okay. Oh, this is a song that we wrote for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
I like their theme.
Home opening day to the World Series. They call us the Wild Card. 'Cause at least 9 innings every single game, we're rocking the Busch Ball Yard. The Cards. We're the St. Louis Cards. We fans know what it's about. Our rivals are gonna soon find out. Our missing hits are gonna beat ya. From Fredford to the fans, including all the boys and girls, we're going yard with the birds on bat, rocking with the rally squirrel. The Cards. We're the St. Louis Cards. We fans know what it's about. Our rivals gonna soon find out. Our missing hits are gonna beat ya. We are Cardinal Nation.
We are Cardinal Nation.
We are Cardinal Nation. We're bringing the good vibration. We are Cardinal Nation. We're gonna scream and shout. We're just of that persuasion. After we knocked it out the park, we'd be a crazy Cardinal Nation. Let me hear you scream. A whole lot louder than that. We're the fans, we're the foundation. This is our proclamation. We are Cardinal Nation.
We are Cardinal Nation.
We are Cardinal Nation.
We are Cardinal Nation.
St. Louis Cardinal Nation. Whatever the team situation, we're bringing the good vibration. We are Cardinal Nation. We are Cardinal Nation.
Good job. Yeah. Down, down the foundation.
You know, we do a lot of the sports rallies here in town and everything. We had a big local hit when the Rams went to the Super Bowl, got to go to work. That was big in this area here. And
awesome.
That's from Cardinals last year's season going into this season. But we do those kind of songs. We got a new release we're going to do for the first time ever, original Smash Band coming out this summer. It's called Dancing with the Girls. But if you go to smashband.com, it'll have all that information on there.
Great job, buddy.
Do we all get to do a little plug for what we're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fine with me.
Well, I'm playing with the Marky Z Band down here in Dallas, and we're working on a CD as well, and I'm looking forward to it. I want to say hello to all my guys. I'm getting the same thing you did, Smash. I'm getting a lot of stuff coming in, and I just got this will affect all of us. Mike Griffin from The Buzzard just called me and said he's listening in California, and he said it's a complete blast. So
cool.
Mike introduced us to he gave us Possess You. He gave us the song. You found it somewhere.
Well,
so say thanks to everybody out there that's listening right now.
Killer.
Well,
Griff was one of the premier rock and roll DJs of the time back then, man. Griff helped.
Yes,
well, he produced the first Roadmaster album. Griff helped us get these bands rocking and rolling appropriately and helped us as far as airplay is concerned, along with everybody at WNAP back in that day, too.
Right.
Also, Ash, Mike Griffin, Possess You, the song you played earlier, Larry, was one of the few songs that we recorded that we didn't write because we wrote most of our material. Mike Griffin introduced us to that song. He brought that to us and said, you guys should do this song. And we recorded it. And Mike was a great friend of the band. He was a wonderful. He is a wonderful person, one of my fans.
I YouTubed the song today, and I found a gal named Maxwell that did it. It sounded like kind of like me on, 78 or something.
Wasn't it a guy named Terry Moore? Terry Moore who wrote that song or something like that?
I don't know.
Wasn't it a songwriting contest if the guy won?
I don't know. All I know, that was a monster tune, man.
Yeah, it was a killer. I love it.
Yeah.
Well,
what's his name? The guy that wrote that was named Tim Moore, I believe, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was Terry Moore, but some kind of Moore. I remember that.
I think it was Tim Moore, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
wrong.
Right.
But,
you know, a great night was the circus, or I think they called it Faces, on Lafayette Road.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Guys played there, especially on Thirsty Thursday.
Oh, wow.
It was, they would never get away with it now. $5 all you can drink for the night.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we played a Thirsty Thursday, and I had a deal with, this is Carl right now, guys, and because I can't tell who's talking. But anyway, I made a deal with the bouncers at the door to carry me in like I was so drunk that I couldn't do anything. And so they carried me in. The place was packed. And they carried me in and threw me on the stage. And, I mean, they actually threw me. And I went rolling into stuff. And it was just like, I thought it would be a bigger impact than that. But I don't think it was just...
Nobody gave a shit.
It was Thursday. The singer's drunk.
They didn't think anything of it. They just said, Carl's here.
Yeah. Carl's taking this Thursday Thursday thing pretty serious.
But we did trade clothes with some girls one night. Were you in the band then, Dave?
I'm going to say no.
Okay, that must have been... That was with Moviola then, with Mark Colley, and but we did we went out in dresses because we were breaking up. It was our last night. Anyway, the stories, and I'm sure the doctors Henry's over there going, Carl's story. He's earned his name for sure. Anyway,
well, this has been great. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, it really has.
Spending the evening with old friends.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like I was riding around the car with these guys.
Yeah.
Oh, me too, man.
Hey, guys.
Well, thanks for putting it together, Larry.
Band.
Let's start a band, guys.
Remember when we were going to do a super group of the two bands?
Yeah.
Yes. Hey,
you remember that?
What about Bone's old car? The old convertible that Bone drove that you guys would all ride around in.
Yeah.
Oh, the white one?
Yeah, white.
I think it was a Plymouth.
Dodge or something? Plymouth.
I think it was a Plymouth.
It was an old Plymouth Dodge.
It was a Dodge, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was, too.
But Bone had a convertible. It was cool.
I can remember seeing you guys just, you know, you would roll in and it would be the whole band in that convertible. It was wonderful.
Well, the one thing I want to say tonight, it was such a pleasure growing up and listening to you guys. It was always, whether it be the Bluebird, the Green Onion, Sherwood Country Club, if that brings back memories.
Yeah.
Indiana
Team
Beach.
Bill.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
But you know what? You know what, Larry?
What?
You know what, Larry? We all got to collectively say thank you to the Indiana Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for inducting us here a couple of weeks ago. That was a very nice touch on everything, you know?
You bet.
Indeed.
You bet.
Yes.
You absolutely deserve it.
I think you got your name mentioned solo, didn't you, Asher? I mean, didn't they?
I have no idea.
Juice? I think you were, it was Roadmaster, and then I think your name is separately introduced.
Oh, yeah, that's probably when they're splitting up Roadmaster, because Roadmaster is really when Steve McNally joined the band and Sweet Music popped up, and they went from there. That's what people look at Roadmaster as. They more portray me to the pure funk side, so I think that's what you're talking about there.
Maybe.
Well,
yeah,
I want to thank
so.
You guys for putting this together tonight. And
glad to be here.
Oh,
and
thank
here.
You, Larry.
It was phenomenal.
Pleasure.
Phenomenal.
It was a pleasure.
Hey, Larry.
Yes.
Can I say one last thing about my friend Asher Benrubi?
Yeah.
It's a little 5 weekend here in Bloomington, and I was at campus this afternoon with my son. My son's 15. And he's kicking ass in some tennis. He was over playing tennis in Bloomington today. So I said, hey, buddy, let's cruise down Kirkwood and check in the scene. And, my God, Asher, I don't have to tell you what Little Five's like down here. But, buddy, I tell you what, I've gotten to play gigs all over the place, all over the world. But, Rube, the years that I spent on stage with you were easily by far the most fun days I've ever had in my life. And it's impossible to drive over to Bloomington and not think about you running for student body president against Leon Bargin and naked in the show Walter. I'm setting up, man. Larry, thanks for putting this together. Benny, Carl, I love you guys. Hey, Carl, why don't you give a plug to Bert Kahlo?
Yeah, buddy.
We're done. We're gone.
All right, see you, fellas.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.